coronavirus cases, Russia meddling. I'm Bart Necker. South Korea reporting a huge jump in coronavirus infections to over 400, most of them linked to a church. Ivan Watson reports from Seoul.
And it's involved one religious group, the Shincheonji group, which has put out a statement saying that it is suspending all services and it's having all of its places of worship disinfected as a result of this. About half of the cases have come from one religious service that took place in that city of Daegu.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders says he believes some of his online supporters may be Russian hackers. The disclosure comes on the heels of President Trump's anger over claims Moscow is looking to help his reelection. Bob Costantini reports.
Insisting that what was briefed by an intelligence official to House Intelligence Committee members last week is not real, President Trump at a rally in Las Vegas.
The do-nothing Democrats, they said today that Putin wants to be sure that Trump gets elected. Here we go.
The president's campaign would love to run against Bernie Sanders to tag the socialist label on a Democratic nominee and make it stick. The president occasionally tweets out good things about the Vermont senator. Sanders now acknowledging he has been told that Russia is looking to help his campaign.
And when I say to Mr. Putin, if elected president, trust me, you are not going to be interfering in American elections.
Senator, when were you briefed on this?
I'm guessing about a month ago.
Bob Costantini, Washington.
Democratic presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg says he is willing to release at least three women from non-disclosure agreements that prevented them from speaking publicly about sexual harassment or discrimination suits filed against him. A temporary truce between the U.S. and the Taliban has taken effect. It sets the stage for the two sides to sign a peace deal next week that could end 18 years of war in Afghanistan. I'm Bart Neckert.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-245-5187. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-245-5187. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-245-5187. That's 800-245-5187.
High school students from low-income families have a new option for an affordable college. Correspondent T.J. Coutini tells us more.
Starting this fall, the University of Southern California will offer free tuition to students whose family incomes are less than $80,000 a year. The school also plans to stop calculating home ownership when determining a student's financial need. Annual tuition at USC is just over $57,000. That's before student fees, housing, and books. The school also announced an increase in financial aid of more than $30 million. They estimate they offered $611 million in financial aid in the current academic year. I'm TJ Coutini.
Wells Fargo has agreed to pay $3 billion to settle criminal and civil investigations into a long-running practice where company employees open millions of unauthorized bank accounts in order to meet unrealistic sales goals. I'm Bart Neckert.
Do you have concerns about mild memory loss related to aging? And have you thought about taking a supplement to improve your memory, but would like to hear from a pharmacist first? Now there is good news. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand, so you can safely take care of yourself with confidence. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. 2019 Pharmacy Times Survey. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of Untuckit. I started Untuckit because, like a lot of other guys, I just couldn't find a shirt that looked great untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt with that just right length. We have over 50 fits for all shapes and sizes, so you can look sharp even at your most casual. Try the original untucked shirt at one of 85 Untuckit stores worldwide or at untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Use promo code RADIO for 20% off your first purchase. It's everything you need to know, Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with Dave Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. Hear the Wise Investor at 9, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at 11, Purity Products at 2, Mortgage Radio at 3, Real Estate Today at 7, and at 9 p.m., Purity Products returns. It's everything you need to know on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-245-5187. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-245-5187. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-245-5187. That's 800-245-5187.
Ice and cream for sale. Ice and cream.
Ice and cream?
That's right, sir. Which do you want?
Some things are just better together, like the convenience and earnings of a PenFed premium online savings account.
Hey, buddy, you want butter or scotch on that?
Visit PenFed.org or call 1-800-247-5626. $5 minimum to open account. Fees may reduce earnings. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
PenFed's got great rates for everyone.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Overall, conditions quiet so far on the Capitol Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. Keep in mind, weekend road work again, westbound on the ICC Intercounty Connector between Lay Hill Road and George Avenue. That portion of the roadway closed, doing road work on they're upgrading the electronic tolling system, but detours are in place. Also, keep in mind that westbound 28 at Muddy Ranch Road in Gaithersburg, emergency road work has the two left lanes blocked.
It's often said that the only sure things in life are death and taxes, but there's definitely a third one, and that's change. Life is full of inevitable changes, and your success and happiness can depend on how you respond to changes you face. I'm Scott Trout, attorney and CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. In either case, you need the support of a trusted legal partner. Talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on, and that never changes.
Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 571-446-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
What do you think it means to be a guardian?
I think that being a guardian means that you love and care for them, but also accept them.
Someone who's always got your back.
A person you can rely on regardless.
My guardian was always my mother and my father.
My guardian is my teacher.
My guardian is my mommy.
For over 150 years, Guardian has helped people look after what they love most, because everyone deserves a guardian. Visit GuardianLife.com to explore your options. Guardian is a registered trademark of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console with us this morning. Jane Houghton is our producer. And it is good to have you with us. About 10 minutes after 6, and we are in our new studio, our first run here in the brand new WMAL studio. So this is going to be fun this morning. Wow. Did you catch the Democratic debate? It is the weekend caucuses in Nevada, and it's wild. It was wild. We've got A lot of coverage for you. We're actually going to head out to Nevada very shortly. Jim Roop is there with us this morning, so we'll talk to Jim in just a few minutes and get the rundown on what to expect today when the caucuses open up about 4:15 this afternoon Eastern time, 1:15 in Nevada. They've already had primaries and voting. Now they have a caucus, so it's a combination. Interesting story. We'll get into that. All right. President Trump out on the road this week, kicking up some fuss. Rod Blagojevich is out of jail. Roger Stone may be going to jail. Harvey Weinstein may be going to jail. In the case of a Weinstein, three counts, jury unanimous on. We don't know what three counts they are or what that unanimity is, but three counts. There are two outstanding. They're on a break. They couldn't get to a consensus on the final two charges. So we will find out Monday what the latest is on Harvey Weinstein. Coronavirus spreading in South Korea. And we'll tell you about that shortly. So we have a lot going on, and we've got our experts to help us out on it. Tony Schaefer joins us in a little while. We'll talk with K.T. McFarland. John Gizzi's got the very latest on the presidential race. Also, as we mentioned, Jim Roop. With so much going on in the law this week on the legal front, we'll talk with Jim Trusty. Jennifer Harper will join us, and also Cheryl Atkinson, and as I mentioned, K.T. McFarland. So quite a morning coming up here on WMAL, the Saturday morning update. Real quick, let's recap some highlights from the debate if you didn't catch this. First off, Bernie Sanders went off on Mike Bloomberg. Here's how that one sounded.
We have a grotesque and immoral distribution of wealth and income. Mike Bloomberg owns more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans. That's wrong. That's immoral.
Okay. Well, that is Mr. Sanders on Mayor Bloomberg. Mayor Bloomberg came back at Bernie Sanders, and this is... A lot of people said Mike Bloomberg did not have a particularly good night, and a lot of people said he kind of blew it after blowing $400 and some million to advertise the product. The product wasn't quite ready for prime time, but he did get this one in on Bernie Sanders.
So what a wonderful country we have. The best-known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What I miss here.
Then Elizabeth Warren, she launched in on Mike Bloomberg, and... The interesting part of this is that Mike actually responded to this, and we'll tell you what his response was shortly. But here's Elizabeth Warren on Mayor Mike.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
And Elizabeth Warren went on Mike Bloomberg.
Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is
that? Let me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told.
Oh, a lot of groans after that one. Well, after the debate... Democratic presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg says he is willing to release at least three women from non-disclosure agreements that prevented them from speaking publicly about sexual harassment or discrimination suits filed against him. Dozens of lawsuits have been filed over his company in the last three decades. He'll let three of them out, probably the least significant of the parking tickets will be released. But anyway, that's the latest on the debates. And it's going to be a really fascinating weekend in Nevada. All the talk of security and election security and the reports out this week, we'll also talk about these reports from the intel community. Some reports say that Putin is favoring Trump. Reports also say that Bernie Sanders is favored by Vladimir Putin. So we'll try and get that sorted out with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer later on. But for the moment, what that all boils down to is that in Nevada this weekend, they're using Google Docs and iPads to count the votes. The app that they used in Iowa was going to be used in Nevada, but they opted out of that. So they have a new technology that they're going to be using. And everybody's talking about online security and internet fraud and hacking and everything else. And they're running with these brand new programs, and they had to change it up at the last minute. Is anybody listening to the two words, election security? What do they not understand about those two words? They're fairly clearly spoken in English. Election security. 6:15, Saturday morning update. Michelle Murray's in the WML Traffic Center this morning.
So far, traffic is moving well in Virginia on 95 from Dale City to Springfield and on 395 from Edsel Road to the inbound 14th Street Bridge. Earlier road work on 66 near 123 all cleared away. Do keep in mind this weekend, a portion of the ICC will be closed again this weekend for the work on the electronic tolling system. Westbound will be shut down between Leyva Road and George Avenue until Monday morning, but detours are in effect. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, indeed, it was a cold night. We're down in the 20s once again, but for today it's going to warm up. We'll be up in the mid-50s with sunshine. Cold again tonight, down around 27 in the city. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 56. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high of 59, 52 in showers on Tuesday and Wednesday. Right now in Washington, 27. It's 22 in the Virginia suburbs, and we're at 6:17 on the Saturday morning update. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. The Nevada caucuses, if you're in Nevada, if you're elsewhere, it's probably Nevada to you, but they happen today. And our own Jim Roop is in Las Vegas this morning. Jim, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Now, primaries and caucuses vary from state to state. Tell us about the structure and the process of the Nevada caucuses.
Well, this is kind of both, actually, because they had some early voting, but let me get into what this is all about. A caucus is really a discussion. You get together in groups at certain caucus sites, precincts they call them. You go in there and you have your candidate you want to discuss, and you get a chance to try and persuade others to join your thought process, or maybe you'll be persuaded to join somebody else's thought process. But the idea is to pick a candidate in a discussion session. At a primary, you're alone in a voting booth, and you mark your ballot. In a caucus situation, it's a discussion. Here in Nevada, though, they've done both. They had early voting for people who can't or don't want to spend their Saturday, all day Saturday, caucusing, discussing. They allowed people for 4 days, and they could vote anywhere they want, which is another problem. They could go in and vote. So 75,000 people did. Saturday, this wonderful day of caucus day, will show if that worked, because they have to marry the numbers of the early voters, which was really a primary, into the numbers of the caucus, which is exactly what it is, a discussion. How they're going to do that is going to be a little hinky. But this is really sort of the hybrid that we see here in Nevada for this particular, we'll keep calling it a caucus, even though really it's a procus or a cocktary. Well, I don't know, however you want to call it. this marriage between a caucus and a primary. It's a very strange animal and very confusing to many people, which is probably why we still have many ballots that are incomplete. 1,100 of the 75,000 pre-votes are invalid because people either forgot to sign them or they put all their choices down because they had to make their first, second, and third choices on these early vote caucus ballots. It's just very strange.
It sounds a little loosey-goosey.
My dad, God rest his soul, when things would go chaotic, would just say, son, I'm telling you, if he was here, he'd look at the lines and he would look at the caucus goers and he would look at the situation and he would just look at me and go, son. So I'm telling you, it's going to be very strange. And the Democratic Party here, though, they say they're confident, everything will work, but they're overly confident, it seems. And when someone is overly confident, that tells me they're worried about something. It's like they're trying to sell themselves on it. Because the app failure in Iowa was one thing. They saw that happen and decided to go on a different route. They're using an iPad. Well, here's the hinky thing about that. They don't call it an application, but it's an application. They call it a bookmark. On this iPad, this program they have is a bookmark to get them to Google Docs that are caucus calculators, and another is a particular math document that will help them marry the early votes and the caucus results together. But there's still an app. It's still an application. They still have to rely, while they're not relying on Wi-Fi, they're still relying on a 4G network. They're still relying on technology. And this non-app app is still has the potential to break down, people not being able to download it, whatever the interruption may be. And even though they say, I'm using air quotes here, security experts, cybersecurity experts, and they won't tell us exactly who, are saying that everything is secure, nothing is 100% hack-proof, right? So we've seen that even with government computers and systems. So people are still a little concerned. Even Joe Biden on Thursday in a town hall said it's a complicated process. They should move from primary or from caucus to primary. I understand why they had primaries early on, because running a primary or caucuses rather early on, because running a primary is expensive. And caucus was a less expensive way to do it for smaller states. But it's sort of an antiquated process now. Only three states left to do it, Nevada, Iowa, and I think Wyoming. So and Joe Biden even saying, you guys got to go to a primary situation. This is just way too confusing. And the way you got it now is convoluted. The Democratic Party has not committed to releasing numbers tonight, which tells you what? They're really not that confident. They're not confident. I know they say they want to make sure, they're going to slow down, they're going to take their time and make sure the numbers are right. But by 4 o'clock this afternoon, we should know. But I don't think we're going to know until maybe Sunday, maybe even Monday.
After the debate, what are the latest poll numbers showing at the very end here?
Bernie Sanders, number one, Joe Biden, number two, Tom Steyer, number three. Tom Steyer wasn't even in the debate, but he's still third in the polls here in Nevada. So it looks pretty good for him. This is a diverse state, and he does well with diversity, as does Joe Biden. If Bernie Sanders can hold strong here, then maybe this would look good for him. Joe Biden's camp says, at the very least, they want a strong second-place showing, a close showing. But they believe they can win this state and then move on, and they believe they can win South Carolina.
Any indication of the debates this past week making any difference?
No, really not. It didn't make any difference that Tom Steyer wasn't in it. It didn't make any difference in the poll numbers for Bernie Sanders, who came out number one out of New Hampshire. Didn't make any difference for Joe Biden, really. He was still in second place here, even though he's been falling off a little bit. It didn't make any difference with anybody yet. But there was so much early voting that went on already anyway that we didn't think it would.
Two key constituencies in Nevada, the union vote and the Hispanic vote. Any indicators as to whether a particular candidate may pick up a significant number of those voters?
The Latino groups endorsed Joe Biden, so that's big. The Culinary Union, they're sort of the only thing they have not done was endorse Bernie Sanders, just because they don't like his health care for all thing. But for the most part, the union, 25% of the people here are union members. So that's really, really tough for Bernie Sanders. But if you're going to look for endorsements, nothing real specific from the Culinary Union, but those are Latino organizations have endorsed Joe Biden.
Jim Roop on the ground for us in Las Vegas this morning. Looking forward to the results whenever we get them. Jim, thank you.
Whenever we get them. Absolutely right. Thank you.
6:24, it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show, Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Hey, Chris Plant here. Garage door struggling this winter? Since 1973, Overhead Door Company of Washington, D.C. has offered the most trusted residential and commercial garage door repair 24/7. When you need garage door repair, garagedoorrepair.com.
Smart investing is more than buying or selling at the right time.
To be a truly wise investor, you have to consider the bigger picture, including how your investment choices impact both your taxes and larger goals. Hi, this is Chase Hinderstein with the Wise Investor Group and co-host of the Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning at 9 here on WMAL.
Chase Hinderstein and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Chase, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
Do you have concerns about mild memory loss related to aging? And have you thought about taking a supplement to improve your memory, but would like to hear from a pharmacist first? Now there is good news. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand, so you can safely take care of yourself with confidence. Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. 2019 Pharmacy Times survey. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you've heard. Their enforcement agents are cracking down this year and can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts. Even your home or business could be at risk over unpaid taxes. It's all true, but it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. The award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief will fight to get you the best deal possible, protecting your paycheck and your assets from IRS collections. But don't delay, because the IRS is tacking on interest and hefty penalties every single day. So don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4343 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 4343. Enjoy.
Saturday Morning Update continues. We're at 6:28. It is good to have you with us. And as we mentioned earlier, President Trump out on the road this week in the West, speaking in Colorado, Arizona, and Nevada. And we've got time for just a couple of samples of what the president was up to this week. And in Colorado, the president taking on Mayor Pete and Senator Klobuchar.
How about Klobuchar? Did you see her? She chuffed. She chuffed. She chuffed. She couldn't breathe. Alfred E. Newman looked at her and said something slightly derogatory. And she said, are you accusing me of being dumb? Who would make a statement like that? Because that's really what he was doing, but he doesn't want to say that. No, how about that? Are you saying I'm dumb? That was the end of her campaign in my book. You don't say that. Even if it's true, you don't say that.
So that is just a little bit of a sample of President Trump. I don't know. That was in Colorado. And clearly, he is on the warpath when it comes to the attacks on the candidates. And you've noticed his strategy. He'll go in to the particular state a night or two before their actual primary or caucus. He was in
Nevada yesterday, and here's the president.
They say they're going to have a lot of problems tomorrow. I hate to tell you this. I don't know. Have you heard? I hear their computers are all messed up, just like they were in Iowa. They're not going to be able to count their vote. They're going to tell you about health care. They're going to tell you about our military and the jet fighters and the missiles and rockets. But they can't count votes.
That's the president last night in Las Vegas. So you get a sense of the intensity of the campaign with the president out doing preemptive strikes and the Democratic candidates looking somewhat like a circular firing squad the other evening. But that's how presidential debates are. We all remember the Republican debates when Donald Trump took them out one by one. Coming up on 6:30 on WMAL, and we'll take a quick look at the headlines around the country and around the world. Senator Bernie Sanders is lumping the, quote, Democratic establishment in with the corporate and Republican establishment, says they can't stop him. Sanders is the favorite in today's Nevada caucuses after winning New Hampshire and essentially tying for first in Iowa. His rivals and some party centrists have become alarmed that the self-declared Democratic Socialist could win the nomination as his opponents spin the non-Sanders vote. Now, there is talk that he could even wrap it up as soon as Super Tuesday. We'll see if that comes to fruition. The presidential candidates made their last urgent pleas as the Nevada Democrats prepare to weigh in on the party's presidential nomination fight. And Saturday's caucuses are the third contest in the 2020 primary season. Just weeks into the 2020 election cycle, intelligence officials have concluded that Russia is already actively interfering in the United States presidential campaign. Intelligence experts say that Russia is not only hoping to help President Trump, as in 2016, but also to help the candidacy of Senator Bernie Sanders in the Democratic race. Intelligence experts say the Russians have a deeper motive than just reelecting Trump. They want to undermine public confidence in the integrity of the U.S. elections and stir general chaos in American politics. Lawmakers were told in a classified briefing last week that Russia is taking steps aimed at helping Trump, Sanders acknowledging yesterday that he was briefed last month. U.S. officials and experts say that hopes for ending America's longest war now hinge on maintaining a week-long fragile truce in Afghanistan. They say that it will be difficult to assess and fraught with pitfalls. The country has been racked by violence for more than 18 years. The determination if the agreement has been violated will be a tough task, and there are a number of other groups and elements in the country that would enjoy seeing the deal fall through. It's a week-long reduction in violence agreement. It began at midnight Friday local time. If successful, it will be followed by the signing of a peace accord on February 29th. South Korea today reported an eightfold jump in viral infections in 4 days. They're now up to 433, most of them linked to a church and a hospital in and around the fourth largest city, where health workers scrambled to screen more than 9,000 worshipers. There is concern that pneumonia or other serious conditions from the hospital were transferred to other facilities. The outbreak entering a serious new phase in South Korea. They do express hope it can be contained to the southeastern region. And some positive news, China's daily count fell to 397 new cases, but another 109 people died of the coronavirus. 6:34, time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic moving well this morning on the major interstates. No delays to report on the Beltway or 95 in Virginia or 395 from the Beltway to the inbound 14th Street Bridge. Traveling on 66, looks like traffic is running without delay from Centerville to the Beltway. Keep in mind, though, that the ramp from Saintsbury Drive to go eastbound on 66, that ramp is closed due to some long-term road work. Also, watch out for some road work, emergency road work in Gaithersburg, westbound on 28 at Muddy Branch Road along the two left lanes. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
It is cold out there this morning. It's 27 degrees in the city, but we will get up to 53 with sunshine this afternoon. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 56. Cloudy Monday, high 59. We'll be in the mid-50s on Tuesday and Wednesday with showers expected. Right now, Northern Virginia reporting 22. It's 23 in Montgomery County and in D.C. We're looking at 27, 6:35 Saturday morning update.
Hi, I'm Brian Scudamore from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Are these the young people I've heard about?
Yes, sir. These are them.
Your online reviews say you're miracle workers.
We do the best we can, sir.
And that all I have to do is point.
Yes, sir. All you have to do is point.
But what if I pointed at that? Oh, my.
Well done, sir. Now point at something else you wish would disappear.
I could go to like this.
We like it too, sir.
You were here in less than 90 minutes.
And we work until midnight, 7 days a week.
But do you really think you can get that? Oh, you really are miracle workers.
Will there be anything else, sir?
What is that wonderful smell? What is that beautiful sound?
That's the smell of springtime.
And the sound of your home singing a happy song.
Does this cost extra?
No, sir. We always bring the springtime.
It's a beautiful song.
When you want junk to disappear,
all you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of Untuckit. I started Untuckit because, like a lot of other guys, I just couldn't find a shirt that looked great untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt with that just right length. We have over 50 fits for all shapes and sizes, so you can look sharp even at your most casual. Try the original untucked shirt at one of 85 Untuckit stores worldwide or at untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Use promo code RADIO for 20% off your first purchase.
Thanks for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Always great to have you. And Jennifer Harper joins us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
CPAC is coming to town. Huge annual conservative political action conference. And Jennifer, that is always creating a buzz in the nation's capital.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is about the largest special event that goes on around here because it draws about 20,000 people. Think about that. But it's also a very cheerful thing, and I thought I would, I wrote about it this week in Beltway because I think everybody needed a little cheer up, everybody, because CPAC's going to happen, and that happens no matter what. And CPAC stands for Conservative Political Action Conference, and it will be down at the absolutely gorgeous Gaylord National Resort. They do a great job down there, down on the Potomac. And this is just a little bit about CPAC. If you want an update about it, the largest conservative gathering in the known universe, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, in the past 3 years, 60,000 people have gone to CPAC. And they've got, their daily programs and lots of boot camps. And in fact, during that amount of time, CPAC generated 75,000 articles from news organizations. People pay a lot of attention to that. And 28 million people watched the CPACs live on Twitter, and 8 million more viewed on YouTube. Anyway, it's lots of millions of people are watching this. It doesn't get all that much press, but I think it's really fun to cover. And it starts up this week on Wednesday. And if you're curious about all that, you can go to conservative.org. That is the headquarters of the host American Conservative Union. And yes, if you're wondering, I do believe President Trump and Vice President Pence will both be there, along with lots of some genuine journalists. Let's just put it that way. And there's a lot of conservative media personalities, along lawmakers, senior administration officials, and also very refreshingly, there are a lot of young people that go to this. I mean, scads and scads of them. You can't believe it. They're college students, they're millennials, and they have a really good time. And when I wrote about it, I thought about when I was watching them, and they have that kind of enthusiasm, an old-school enthusiasm, which would have really pleased Ronald Reagan. And last but not least, Senator Mitt Romney of Utah is still formally not invited. So that's your CPAC update for today.
Well, Mitt's not going to be there, and Bernie Sanders isn't going to be there either. What an interesting contrast between Bernie Sanders voters and your typical CPAC attendee and conservative voters. But what are the polls telling you about how they feel about Bernie being a socialist?
Well, this is a very interesting phenomenon here because a lot of voters are very cozy with the idea that, Senator Sanders says, I'm a democratic socialist. And he kind of has tried to downplay that a little bit because people are trying to figure out, in fact, this came up on CNBC, is he a socialist or is he a communist? So, you know, that narrative is out there. But Mr. Sanders, when asked, he said that his democratic socialism was actually a, quote, vibrant democracy. so there's kind of a little rebranding going on right there. And you have to remember that the old socialism of yours kind of out of the cultural picture right now. A lot of analysts have said that the old Soviet stigma that was associated with socialism has all but disappeared. It's very fashionable to be socialist up in New York. They even have a dating service for socialists up there. But all that aside, somebody bothered to ask whether or not, ask a bunch of voters whether or not socialism and democratic socialism were the same thing. And this is coming from a Yahoo News and YouGov poll. And they found that essentially 60% of Republicans say that socialism and democratic socialism are the same thing. And contrast that with 60% of Democrats who say they're completely different. So we've got a cultural divide going on there. And I think a more significant poll this week came from the Washington Post and ABC News. And this is what they have to say right from the poll. If Sanders is to become the presidential nominee, half of all Americans say it makes no difference in their vote that Sanders is a socialist. And that includes 70% of Democrats. And, of course, meanwhile, Mr. Sanders is lashing out against his friend Michael Bloomberg, and he predicts that President Trump would, quote, rip him to shreds. So there you go. That's your democratic socialism update, Rick.
Well, you mentioned Mike Bloomberg. What's the latest count on how much he's spending?
Well, the bloomy buzz is that he is really spending a lot of money. And of course, that doesn't really matter so much because he has $62.4 billion to his name. But in recent weeks, Mr. Bloomberg has spent $418 million on advertising.
Ouch.
That's just in the past couple of weeks. And in contrast, Senator Sanders has spent $42 million since his campaign started. But even though a lot of people felt he faltered during his debut debate in Vegas on Wednesday, he made up for it the next day because not only did he make fun of himself, but he also had a big bash on Bernie. And he did this, this was repeated over and over in the news media, and this is what he had to say. He said, look, the real winner of the debate was Donald Trump. This is Michael Bloomberg talking, and this is what he told his fans in Utah just a couple hours after the debate itself. He says, I worry that we may be on our way to nominating somebody who cannot win in November. If we choose a candidate who appeals to a small base like Senator Sanders, it will be a fatal mistake. Voters don't want empty talk. They want leadership. They don't want hand-waving and finger-pointing. They want common-sense ideas that can become real policy. So Michael Bloomberg came out swinging, and a lot of people thought that was a pretty good response to, he made fun of himself, number one, and then number two, he lashed out at Senator Sanders. And right now, he's getting some buzz, and we'll see how he does next week.
We talked about the census getting underway. What is the latest you're hearing from the largest U.S. count ever?
Well, I don't know why I like to cover the U.S. Census, but I do, because it's a phenomenon that's taking place, and it's a very expensive phenomenon also.
Only you can make the census interesting.
Well, it is interesting, because here's what they have to say. Now, maybe unbeknownst to our listeners, but the census is spending $500 million on an advertising and public outreach campaign. And they are trying, it looks like they're going to set a record for a huge public outreach, because this is what they have to say. The U.S. Census Bureau, has expanded its already massive multimedia advertising campaign, and they say that it's designed to reach over 99% of the nation's households. They are determined to reach everybody.
So is Mike Bloomberg, but go ahead.
That's true. Very good, Rick. But anyway, here's what they have to say. Almost every person living in the United States will be reached an average of 40 times during the lifetime of the census campaign, which will take place on television, radio, newspapers, online, and at outdoor locations such as billboards and bus stops. This is what the Census Bureau is saying. Their messages will run in English and a dozen other languages, including Arabic, Haitian Creole, and Russian. And again, they're spending $500 million to do this, and this is their rationale. The ads show that responding to the census is easy, safe, and important. So we shall see how that comes out for them.
Sometimes I poke fun at the number of books that come out of the Fox News teams, but Martha McCallum has one out that actually has a nice story behind it.
Yes, it does. Fox News, Martha, anchor Martha McCallum, she's a primetime star, and she has written a book, a personal book about Iwo Jima, and it's being released on Tuesday, and it's called Unknown Valor, A Story of Family Courage and Sacrifice from Pearl Harbor to Iwo Jima. And she had discovered that she had an uncle and other close relatives who were very closely associated with that, and she found not only all the letters home from her own grandfather who actually lived through it, but he also had left behind all his scrapbooks and newspaper clippings. And folks who have relatives who were that age, that's what folks did back then. They made scrapbooks and newspaper clippings. So she wrote off of that, and she said that writing the story was like being an archaeologist, and she was digging to see where the letters and the files led her, and to fill in the blanks and connect the dots between all of the heroes. And she described them as just boys, great buddies, and certainly the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Iwo Jima. That was a battle that took place over 31 days, and it took the lives of 6,800 U.S. Marines. So Martha has written the story. It's coming out on a book. It's coming out on Tuesday. And also Fox News has a big special on that, a kind of a timely thing on Sunday night. So if you do get Fox News, you can tune in for their Iwo Jima special. And she's the host of that. So it's Sunday at 10 p.m.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Rick. Have a good weekend, everybody.
6:47. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we head over to the WMAL Traffic Center. Michelle Murray is there this morning.
Well, this morning on the major interstates, so far things are looking good on 95 Virginia from Aquia headed towards Dumfries and Springfield. 395, no issues reported from Edsel Road to the inbound 14th Street Bridge. Keep in mind this weekend that the westbound lanes of the Intercounty Connector are closed for some work on the tolling system between Lay Hill Road and George Avenue, but detours are in place. Also, do keep in mind there is a new construction layout on the Memorial Bridge between the GW Parkway and the Lincoln Memorial. The bridge is reduced to three lanes. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Cool out there this morning, 27 in the city right now, but we are headed up to 53. We'll have sunshine this afternoon, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 56. Cloudy on Monday with a high of 59. Showers Tuesday and Wednesday will be in the mid-50s. In D.C., 27, it's 23 in the suburbs, and we're at 6:48 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Glad you've joined us and glad to have Jim Trusty join us once again. So many stories in the news this week involving the law. And Jim has been seen a lot recently on the Fox News Channel. He is the former chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. He is now with IFRA Law here in Washington. Also, a lot of experience in white-collar crime. Jim, it's great to have you with us once again.
Great to be here. Good morning, Rick.
Roger Stone, sentenced to a little over 3 years this week, and that quite in contrast to what the prosecution has recommended. And if you could just kind of summarize how you see the outcome on the Roger Stone case so far.
Well, it's been a very interesting ride because of the dueling memos. You know, the prosecution filed a memo suggesting the guidelines should be calculated at 7 to 9 years. And then the attorney general got involved and rewrote the memo in a way that de-emphasized the big guideline adjustment that drove that sentence. And really, the way it's all played out, for all the hysterics and histrionics that have surrounded it, the judge really followed the cue that the attorney general put in motion. She did find that the guideline applied, but then she decided to go below the guideline to essentially a sentence that's right where you would be if you didn't apply that adjustment for threatening a witness.
Jim, you have prosecuted gang crime and gang violence and obviously white-collar crime. Help us understand this sense of the length and severity of sentences, because it struck me that Roger Stone, no matter what my political feelings are, I mean, for what he was accused of doing, a 9-year sentence struck me as quite a long time.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's really kind of interesting in this era of criminal justice reform where a lot of people are really giving a close scrutiny to justice and the idea of nonviolent offenders. But then somehow they just put on the blinders when it's somebody's politics they don't like involved. Roger Stone draws an awful lot of attention to himself, and he did during this trial. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of people that aren't big fans of his, but that doesn't translate into sentencing somebody for 9 years or even 7 or 8 years for a garden variety obstruction and false statement case. I mean, this is truly, you know, borderline victimless crime, certainly nonviolent crime. And he was looking at a potential sentence that would rival somebody in a serious vehicular manslaughter case or even a low-grade murder case, if there's such a thing. So I think at the end of the day, it's being kind of overlooked by a lot of people, maybe intentionally, that the starting point recommendation from DOJ was very high and that Barr actually did the right thing in terms of little J justice, of just doing what's right on an individual case.
There's talk of a possibility of a new trial due to the juror misconduct allegations. We talked a little bit about it last week, but what more do we know about that this week and where that may go?
Well, it's up in the air. We know that there's a hearing that's coming in the near future, and it's interesting sequencing by the judge. Normally, you'd think the motion for new trial would be resolved either right before or at least somewhat before the sentencing. So here she's already gone ahead and sentenced, and we're still waiting for a hearing. But I think that's mostly because it was very late-breaking information when this juror kind of took to the airwaves and amplified the biases that she had. I mean, look, she's clearly somebody that was a terrible juror. There's a lot of open questions about what questions she was asked and whether she truly identified the bias that she held. Another question would be why the defense didn't strike her if that stuff happened. They'd have the option to strike her even if the judge refused to do so. So there's a lot to unravel here, but there's really kind of two tracks. One is whether her misconduct is the type of thing that can lead to a new trial, which is actually uphill for the defense, unless she blatantly lied or committed misconduct during the trial, which is still possible. The second track is for her personally, which is the judge could bring her in for potential contempt. And I've seen this before, and the judges don't always put somebody in jail for this, but they can give a pretty serious tongue lashing to somebody who interfered with justice by holding back or by misstating something like why they couldn't serve as a juror. So I think that would be a real interesting moment to see if Judge Berman Jackson brings her in and how severe she treats it. I hope she does, because I think that this juror has at least earned that. But that's an option the judge has to consider at some point, along with the motion for new trial.
Well, speaking of severity of sentences, Rod Blagojevich did 8 years in prison. President Trump commuted his sentence this week. He is out, now a free man, actually appearing on Fox News tonight. But question mark for you there is, again, severity of sentence, where he was sentenced to 14 years for talking about trying to get something in return for Barack Obama's Senate seat, where he had an appointment to replace Obama. Now, he was accused and convicted of some other things in the state of Illinois, but again, a 14-year sentence there on a white-collar crime.
Yeah, it's a big hit, to be sure, and anybody that thinks that serving 8 years in a federal prison is playing par-3 golf every day is mistaken. So he's definitely paid a pretty significant price for it. Again, it's not the type of crime where there's severe harm to anyone in particular, and certainly not anything close to violence. So 14 years is a big hit. The only caveat that I would say, or the only difference for a guy like him compared to somebody like Roger Stone, is the fact that he was in political office. And so I always think it's probably legitimate for the court to consider the abuse of public trust in fashioning a sentence. But again, the conduct here was kind of low-grade graft and not something that was, overly damaging to the system, but criminal nonetheless. And he served a serious sentence, but 8 years seems like a pretty stiff sentence compared to, a lot of other crimes. And 14 years seems incredibly harsh for a pretty white-collar kind of event.
Want to turn to the Harvey Weinstein sexual assault case. The jury suggesting on Friday that it was hung on two top counts, but unanimous on the others, and they headed into a break for the weekend. What do you make of where that case stands?
Well, it's really interesting. It's at this juncture that happens in criminal cases that's really maddening, probably for the jurors more than anybody else. They've announced they have a partial verdict on three counts. That looks like probably three counts of conviction, where they're saying that they believe the victims that came forward from, I think, 2006 and 2013, they believe the allegations of sexual assaults relating to them. The counts that they're announcing they're hung on relate to what's essentially a predatory practice, meaning that there's a pattern of sexual assaults by this guy over time. Each one of them has Annabelle Ciara, the actress, who made a claim that something happened in the mid-90s, coupled with one of the other victims. And so if they're hanging on those counts, it tells me they're struggling with the older story, the Annabella Ciara story, which was from the mid-90s, if I remember correctly. And that's frankly just not unusual. When you have kind of late-reported, no physical evidence, old stories like that, jurors tend to have a real predilection towards reasonable doubt. So they're struggling with that, but what I think is really kind of interesting is the process. The jury announces, hey, we've got a partial verdict. Is that okay? And the judge has the discretion to really blast away with what's called an Allen charge based on a Supreme Court case called Allen. And that was the language of the Allen charge was the type of thing where you were kind of addressing it towards a holdout juror. You're saying you need to listen to your compatriots. You have an obligation to try to come to a unanimous verdict. It was really used as kind of a bludgeon to get a 10-2 or 11-1 jury to 12-0. But what's happened over the years is the judges do it in a very softened way, and they're not comfortable steering the jury so severely. So they'll say things like, please consider everyone else and keep deliberating. Well, if you're the juror, you really didn't get an answer to your question today. You were just told, keep going. And so what typically happens, every now and then there's a change of heart that's kind of dramatic, but most of the time, they come back about a day later and they say, we're still hung. What are we supposed to do? I think at that point, after 5 days of deliberation, after the note that they got yesterday, there's a real good chance that the judge would declare a mistrial on those two counts, but then go ahead and take the verdict for the other three.
In a sexual assault case, you have a he said, she said situation quite often. And again, you just mentioned reasonable doubt. How much do other allegations enter into this in Harvey Weinstein's past, or are they not admissible?
Well, the fact that Annabella Ciara's case is before this jury is a little bit of a legal reach. The charge that relates to her in terms of actual rape or sexual assault is long past the statute of limitations. The predatory sex assault charge is essentially a sentencing enhancement that lets them bring in that older information from the 1990s. So on one level, everybody that was a star witness in this case was somebody who was actually part of the charging document. You don't always have that. And again, there's something about numbers that's pretty important in these credibility questions. Just ask Bill Cosby. I mean, in Bill Cosby's case, the jury heard from several other victims. I think it was like pick your best five. And the other victims came in, even though they weren't formally charged. And I have to think that just gets to a critical mass where a jury says, okay, we're comfortable believing all of these women, or at least most of these women. So you have that same general dynamic here when you have three victims that are talking about similar conduct over a period of years. It tends to be viewed as pretty powerful corroboration.
Jim Trusty at IFRA Law here in Washington. Once again, Jim, thank you very much for your perspectives.
Sure. Good to talk to you, Rick.
6:59, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, 7 o'clock news with Heather Curtis. Then we're back with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland.
Let's talk about real estate. Are you planning to sell your home? Hey, it's Larry O'Connor for the Reynolds team, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams. In a minute, I'm going to give you their phone number. Just 1 5-minute call will empower you to learn what your home is really worth and how the Reynolds team will help you maximize the sale of your home, just like they did for Mauricio in D.C. Mauricio sold his townhouse the first weekend it was listed for over the asking price. He called because his previous agent couldn't sell his property after 6 months. Why risk losing money or time? Sarah and Debbie will guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your list price, or they're going to pay you the difference. And they'll show you their list of ready buyers. All you need to do is call this number. Here it is, 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. The $1,000 fast money keyword. WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7. I'm Heather.